Hello, and welcome to Radio Education. This is a podcast from the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Dr. Diana Jones. I'm a mother, a superintendent, and your neighbor. Thank you for joining us today. With us today is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Welcome, Dr. Murillo.
Dr. Jones, it is the end of the school year. We've had a busy week attending kindergarten graduations. Just today at OMS, eighth grade students were celebrating their last day in middle school before they get to be freshmen. And this weekend, we are gearing up for graduation, Alamosa High School, Alamosa Alternative School, Alamosa Online School. And just this past weekend, we also had a handful of our students, or more, several of our students, graduate from Adams State University with associate degrees.
Yes, it's been an exciting few weeks. Actually, it's been a wonderful year for the Alamosa School District, and I'm just excited to be a part of all of the celebrations because there's so many people that deserve so many accolades.
That's right.
Let's move on to our first section, happenings at our campuses. What can you share with us about what is happening around our campuses?
Well, I think that today you will be the one doing the sharing, but what I want to bring up is, besides the end of the school year and the celebrations, this time of the year is also budgeting season for us. It is a time when we get to wrap up our current fiscal year and get ready for next year's fiscal year. Can you talk to our listeners about the process of creating a budget, what it needs to be presented and approved by the board?
Absolutely. There are so many layers of our budget and so many people that are involved in that budgeting process. And we also have different types of budgets. One thing that we shared with some of our staff members yesterday and today is that we did receive information from the federal government that we will soon, within the next 2 to 3 weeks, be receiving our allocations for our federal programs budget, which is a little later than it's ever been before, but we're excited about that. And we take information regarding federal programs from input that we receive from our parents when they come to some of our meetings like ML night and different types of events where we can get information. And then it's all tied directly to the level of Title I, II, III, or IV based upon those regulations. But our major budget, I think, is what you're really talking and asking about. And that is really just an ongoing process that occurs throughout the year, but we have some major milestones in that process happening right now. In state statute for Colorado, it says that we have to provide a proposed budget to our board no later than the end of May. So we are gearing up and ready for that. We've looked at every single budget item, every single line item, every single position. We've talked to our principals, we've talked to our board members, we've talked to community members, and even teachers on some of our committees and our leadership committees to see where we are and maybe things that we need to modify or adjust or even cut. But we also, it's very important for us to make sure that we are aligned with our board's vision of being really a premier district in the Valley, as well as a premier district and one that other people notice around the state. So we align our budget with that vision, as well as our strategic plan and our profile of a graduate. So all of those things are happening, and we are modifying our budget every single day, and sometimes every few minutes of the day, depending upon if someone resigns or retires, then that modifies that budget in some way if we've hired someone at a different pay grade. So that's happening constantly.
The other thing that's happening is wrapping up this year's fiscal year budget, and everything must be wrapped up, spent, reported by June 30th.
Yes.
Correct. And then July 1st is when we start the new fiscal year.
Absolutely. So right now, we are trying to close out and spend the funds and be good stewards of the money that's been presented with us and spend that down. And then we're also budgeting and getting ready for next year. And it is a fast and furious process at this time of the year.
That's right. So we'll be busy all throughout the summer, wrapping up one fiscal year and getting ready for next school year, not just fiscally, but also to have a great start of the school year. We have some meetings that are coming up, some retreats with our admin, and we get ready to welcome our new staff. And it feels like the summer is here, or at least summer break for some, and it'll be gone, and we'll be ready to go for school year 25-26.
Yes, it's an exciting time.
It feels weird to say, but yeah. It'll be here before we know it.
Getting to the point where I have to really think about what fiscal year are we talking about and what year is next year? Because it'll end with 26, so we will begin speaking about fiscal year 2026. So let's move on to our favorite section, celebrate.
All right. Well, today we have a very special guest. We've been recording this podcast over 100 episodes now, and we've been recording about 2 years, or, you know, 3 different school years, but 2 years in total. And we started because we needed to educate. We needed to put out more information. We needed to be more transparent. And we also needed to celebrate. At that time, we were challenged to find ways to get to people. And we have newsletters. We have Salsa with the superintendents. We have several things. And we also decided to partner with Zeppel Media to create our very own podcast. And we've been diligent every week recording an episode, one in English and one in Spanish. This is a whole operation. This isn't happening in our basement or garage. It's happening in a small studio, as Chris Lopez would say, in the south side of Alamosa. And we have a producer, and we have state-of-the-art microphones and headphones. And today we decided to invite the person who is behind on the other side of the earphones listening to our stories, what we have to say about our kids, our district, people that we've had on here over 100 episodes. And then he does a magical job of producing the podcast, and then as the team uploads it so people can listen. So we thought that today, being that it'll be the last episode of what now is season 3, we have Owen Woods as our special guest. He's been with Zeppel Media and this project for 4 years now, and he's been recording our podcast since the get-go and recording podcasts for about 2.5 years. So we will be interested in hearing what he's learned about our district and his perspective as a citizen of Alamosa.
Well, I just want to say that we see Owen so much and are so appreciative of his support of our district. And I just feel like he's a part of our team and a part of Alamosa School District, even though he really works for Zeppel Media. But welcome to the podcast, Owen.
Thank you. You kind of hit it right ahead. It does kind of feel like there's a teamness to our relationship. It's really cool. Thanks for having me on. This is kind of cool. I don't normally get to be a guest. So
welcome to your own studio. Yeah,
exactly. I'm sitting in Chris's chair today.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. This is really cool, and I appreciate the opportunity to kind of share my insight. You know, I'm from Alamosa, born and raised, moved away for a few years, but I've been back for almost 7 years now. But I was a student of Alamosa School District until the 7th grade, and then I graduated at Sangre, but I've grown up in the Valley my whole life, so.
Yeah, and you are definitely, like I said, born and raised, left, came back, and now are a contributing member to definitely our valley and definitely the Alamosa School District. So Owen, I'm really interested in hearing about, again, your perspective, because you put on these headphones and you listen to us talk week after week after week, students, staff, teachers, board members, superintendent. We've talked about safety and security, nutrition, budget. I mean, the topics have really been endless, having to do with the district. I'm going to start with, as a community member, what is your perspective on the project? Like, one, what do you think about the project as a community member? And then my follow-up question would be, like, what are some of the things that stick out to you as a listener?
That's a great question. I think, you know, I fell into podcast producing kind of by accident. We had a producer and he quit. And so I had to kind of pick up. So my background is not in audio producing. So when I heard that the school district was doing a podcast, I thought, okay, that's different. It's kind of weird. I don't know how that works. You know, like what do you guys talk about? But what I've found to be, as a community member, to be particularly about the podcast, but I think where the state of the school district is right now, you all are like just so forward, very, very forward in the way you guys are thinking, very educational minded for young people. I think trying to get young people just like addicted to learning and addicted to that chase of constantly educating oneself. And that's kind of the personal philosophy I have. I feel like if every day is an opportunity, every day there's something new to learn. But I think that at the end of the day, what you guys are doing is wholly unique. To be honest, I haven't really looked at other school districts or ever to see if they're doing a podcast or anything similar like that. But I probably could confidently say that there's not many like this or any like this. Yeah. So I think that what you're at the forefront of something really unique. And as a community member, you know, I don't have kids. I don't even have nieces or nephews in the school system or anything like that. But what you guys are offering, what you guys are doing is invaluable. And I think it's setting the record straight on exactly what you're doing. I think that's also really important, is that you are very transparent. You're bringing in students, teachers. Again, you talked about security and food nutrition. I when I was a student, I didn't know half of the things that go on in the school district. I didn't know half of the things that went on in another classroom. And so bringing the class to the community is really important for parents, for everybody. But, you know, as a taxpayer, I think that it's also important to understand that the school where my taxes are going is really caring about their community, about their students, about themselves. And you know, some of the things that have stood out to me in particular are just kind of the people you bring in to the studio. Mm-hmm. You bring in, I would have to say, I don't know the number, but it almost feels like you've brought in more students than staff. And I think that's really powerful. That's really impactful. You know, you had your knowledgeable team on, you've had, you know, the sports kids on, you've had your honor students. I think that's really important to, you know, not only get students who might be a little nervous in front of a microphone or a camera to kind of give them their own self-confidence, but to instill in the community that there are these young people who are striving, that they are thriving, and that there's a school district that is trying its best to facilitate that kind of environment for young people. San Luis Valley is a hard place to grow up in. Mm-hmm. It's a hard place to learn. It's a hard place to be warm. But when you have a school district that cares and sets the future, sets the rails in a way that students can learn, and then they break the rules. I think that's really important, is you set them right so then they know how to kind of flourish on their own.
One of the things you mentioned is our guest. And, you know, it almost feels like in every podcast I talk about the favorite day of the week. And I truly mean it, because I get to learn about our students and not just the academics, because, you know, we know their scores, their test scores, but of course our students are way more than one test score.
Yeah.
And when I get to hear their stories, their struggles, their celebrations, their hopes for our district in the future is amazing. I remember we've had a Theater O kids, we've had middle school student council, we've had athletes, we had scholars, and when we also hear about the people that are educating those students, it's just amazing and magical that we have such a community where people are invested and our kids. And, you know, one thing that I say is, when everyone's better, everyone is better, meaning not just about our district, but also Alamosa. So you're right. That's one of the things that I love, learning more. And I love that it's been captured for people to just go back and listen.
No, that's a great, it's just, there's this archive that you are all collecting. It's really important.
One of the things that we have strived to do, and I love that you've really articulated it well, is that we are really trying to highlight the wonderful things that are happening in our school district and the intention behind that. But if you, Owen, were a family that were thinking about moving to Alamosa, and you happen to listen to this podcast, or you were someone that this family talked to about our podcast, what would it be that you would want them to either understand about our intention behind the podcast or what's going on in Alamosa School District?
I think kind of just that you're being transparent about your mindset, where your heads are at the school district level. And then also saying, hey, like, look, this is a place where you can learn. And if you're, you know, when I transferred to Sangre, it was middle of the year, right? And I had to catch up on years of lore. You know, I had to figure out who everybody was, and I had to figure out where things were. But if I, you know, if I were a student who said, you know, at least had some sense of what a podcast is or whatever, I think I'd probably want to listen to understand, okay, what does this school district do? What if I was a parent, I'd want to find episodes with parents to see how parents talk with you all, and to listen to the students' personal experiences. I think that's really important. And if I would, you know, instill anything in anybody coming here, is, you know, listen to the students. Cause I think, you know, I graduated high school almost 10 years ago, but if you're going to understand the health of a school system, a school district, it's the student's mentality. And you know, every kid has their own issues. But I think that if you can listen to students, I think you get a really good gauge of where the school district is at.
That's a really good point. You know, I didn't think about parents, but maybe that's something for season four. But
yeah,
I was definitely thinking the same.
Yeah.
Good well, idea. And you do have staff who are parents too, as well. You know, and I think that they're
board members have been on here as well.
That's a unique perspective, and I think a lot of your staff are also from here as well. Yeah. And I think, you know, if there's a family that's coming in here, you talk to Michelle Wilson, mm-hmm. and you get a really good sense of where her head's at, and you talk to Roxy Vigil, and you just talk to these staff who have kids, and they have a community here, and it's a unique school district. It really is. I think a lot of people maybe moved away, but you know, it's an economic driver. It's a great career to have. I think if you work at the school district right now, you're you're in good hands. You're in good company. So yeah.
I have several questions, but before I get to more questions, we've talked about education and education programs. Now, the Citizen or Zeppel Media is also a contributor of educational opportunities for students. Do you want to talk about your internship?
Yeah, actually, that's programs. We'll have three interns this summer. We started with high school interns 2 years ago, and that was really successful. But I think if you're a high schooler and get a job that only pays once a month, that's a hard kind of decision to do. Not that this isn't a bad gig, but if you're a high schooler, you're already overwhelmed, and it can be a little more difficult to tap into an internship. But we have three college interns this summer, and you know, working with young people is exciting. It's different. It reinvigorates me. You know, I'm 28, but I feel like I'm 50 sometimes. And so when I get to have conversations with 19-year-old Javier Rodriguez, I'm like, oh, that's right. You know, it feels good to hang out with the youth a little bit. It never feels like babysitting, which is also really cool, you know, because I've worked retail where, you know, I've you know, been a supervisor to high school kids, and, you know, there's a little bit of wrangling that has to do, but, you know, I just lock the door, turn the lights off. That's all I care about, you know? And so, but seeing these kids, and, you know, I say kids lightly, they're all 20. Seeing them as they grow up, and I think that there is a generational gap, but I think between, you know, people that were born in the late 90s and in the mid 2000s, there's this strange technological gap. It feels generational to some degree. So getting their perspective, that millennial, that Generation Z kind of attitude and approach to things, is to some a little alarming, but for me, it's really cool to kind of see how they approach the world.
Well, I love that you've said that, and then even just the opportunity for our students. We're always looking for work pathways to make that connection, and you know, our Profile of a Graduate, one of the areas is being locally and globally connected. And this is the perfect place to do that. All the things that are happening here within our podcast, as well as the Alamosa Citizen, having that local connection, but then also having the tools and the skills to be able to be a part of a podcast, be a part of that online media. It is truly an opportunity that very few people will get to experience. So we're very grateful for that.
That's a great point. I think that this is not, you know, if you envision a newsroom, and might go to a big bullpen mm-hmm. and people in suits and cigarettes and people are yelling and there's phone calls everywhere. I'm sometimes the only person in here for days at a time. But that being said, everything we do is industry standard. It's current. It's very much, this is a landing spot for a lot of people that then they can rocket upwards. You know, Javier has a bright future ahead if he wanted to go down digital media. He really does. And I think that Chris and Marianne, you know, people ask me, did you go to journalism school? No, I didn't. I just went to the school of Chris and Marianne. I mean, seriously, they've taught me more than I think a master's degree. And at this point, I've earned a master's degree at 4 years now with them. But they want to tap into young people. It's why they hired me 4 years ago. Because with the skills that we can set you up here, you can go anywhere. You can go to any newsroom. You can go to any country. You can go to any state, anywhere, and you'd flourish.
Since we are a podcast, let's try to describe the studio for our listeners, you know, in the south side of Alamosa, since Chris always talks about that. But before you do, let me tell a story. When we first started coming out with the podcast, we started sharing it. I remember people saying, like, it sounds professional. And I said, well, it is professional. Right. What do you think we're doing around here? So it is professional. We have a producer. We have equipment. We have microphones, headphones, but you want to try to describe the rest?
Maybe while you're doing that, maybe describe the process of what you go through when you're producing and what area of the room that is part of.
You know, this is the Lopez compound, as we call it here. Mm-hmm. It's just right off 8th Street, right at the corner of 8th and State. Chris grew up here, and he talked his brother into giving us this. I couldn't tell you how many square feet, 500 square feet, maybe.
It's
got a bathroom. We've got desks. We've got, you know, MacBook computers, and our little studio space is kind of tucked back in the corner. We've got nice carpet and gray drapes that kind of help bounce the sound. It's still a little harsh in here, you know, for certain voices. The sound kind of bounces around, but for a professional podcast studio, I don't think it gets any more, you know, than what it is here. And then to kind of go back on the process is, once you figure it out, it's kind of a plug and play, more or less. But it took time to kind of find what that process was. And typically it comes, you know, you have to adjust everybody's volumes differently. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different set of vocal cords that work on different frequencies. Some people are harsh. Some people have naturally radio friendly voices. So those kinds of things are done kind of right at the beginning, before you guys record. I'll ask questions, or Javier will ask questions about, you know, just to get you all conversating and talking naturally. That way you can really gauge where volume's at. And then we record, I go home, come back the next day, and then I edit. Editing can be difficult sometimes, just because there's a lot of software hurdles that, if you're not familiar with software, you got to kind of teach yourself. You have to, you know, take the time to learn. And luckily there's YouTube and hundreds of thousands of pages on the internet that you can learn stuff on. But it really is it's a matter of, you know, paying attention while you're listening. You know, if somebody has a cough, or if somebody jokes, or if, you know, you want a break, or it's not live. That's a beautiful thing. And you tell Luis, you tell everybody it's not live, and you just give Owen a look, and it is, and it's beautiful, you know, because there's a pressure already with microphones. I would say, we're having this conversation at a staff meeting a couple weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, and I would say that for the most part, 10 out of 10 people that come in here have never been behind a microphone. So the fact that it's not live really, I think, puts the pressure off for sure.
Absolutely. Oh. I've messed up a few times.
Just a few. So Owen, talking about the citizen and your work with the citizen. So you help us with the podcast, but you're also very involved in what's happening in Alamosa and the Valley, and you cover several things happening to city council, big disputes, and also some celebrations. What are you hopeful about regarding, you know, Alamosa or the Valley? And then just so you know, I'm going to follow up that one with, you know, what keeps you up or what are you fearful about regarding just what's going on?
You know, I think I see Alamosa moving in a really positive direction. You know, when I grew up here, I didn't have a finger on the pulse. I didn't really understand it. It felt like a dying town, nothing to do after 10. I still think that, you know, that's the thing I rail against as a person in their late 20s. There's not enough to do after dark or in the evening. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, finding community, and then you always have something to do. And it's really easy to find community down here. And that being said, with the profound amount of neighborness, the neighborly nature of Alamosa, mm-hmm. you know, it's a town of 10,000, but it feels a lot smaller than that. But then sometimes it can feel really big. And mm-hmm. I think because we're not the town of Alamosa, we're the city of Alamosa, there's a lot of potential for us to do really cool, interesting things. I think, you know, once we really figure out the highway situation through Main Street, Alamosa's mm-hmm. downtown will be much better and it'll be more lively. And the city governments are doing things, and, you know, the police department is not a corrupt agency, and, you know, you don't have to worry about being hazed by the cops. The cops are mostly young dudes who are from here for the most part. But I see Alamosa going in places that really help young people. I'm sad to see AmeriCorps gone. A lot of my friends are former AmeriCorps, mm-hmm. and that in live in Alamosa, that really kind of pumped some Red Bull into the veins of Alamosa. Mm-hmm, yeah. So I think Alamosa is becoming a younger town, but it still has a lot of kinks to work out, for sure.
I would agree. You know, just getting to learn more about everything that is going on, the downtown hotel that is going up, and then just the different buildings that have been introduced into Alamosa, and then the dark skies, and just all the visitors that we see every summer. It does feel like we are improving, we're growing, like we're in the up and up. And I also do miss, you know, the AmeriCorps, because I know they were a whole community that came here to contribute. I'm not a young dude, but I know that, you know, they did bring their own community here.
Yeah, and to answer your question about what keeps me up at night, that's a heavy question. You know, I think the bear in the room is the current administration and what they're doing with the immigrant population. And I just spoke with Matt Martinez, our House District Representative, last week. And, you know, he's not seeing any indication for bad things happening, but harvest season is coming soon. And that's what keeps me up at night, is our community failing the lifeblood of our community? This is a Hispanic Valley. This is ancient Mexico. I shouldn't even say ancient. It was not that long ago. This was Mexico, and how easily we forget that. So that is definitely what keeps me up at night. I think at a more local level, it's a very, you know, we're an aging town, and I hope that more industry comes in here. I hope that fresh industry comes in here. Those are the kinds of things that I don't really see happening soon. And I wonder what is the future of Alamosa, even though I do see it going in good places. It's just, perhaps it's not happening fast enough.
We wonder those same things, and how can we help our students be a part of a thriving opportunity in industries that we may not yet know about.
Right.
And so we're right there with you, and we have a lot of wonderings, and we'll talk about those more in upcoming podcast. But Owen, thank you for being with us today and your willingness to always be so gracious on the other end of the microphone and the time that you spend really making us look good.
Sound good at least.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know about looking good. You look great. I don't. But thank you
all
for
right,
making us sound
good.
Thank you guys for having me. This is really cool. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you being part of our team. Our next segment is upcoming events. What is going on in the district, Dr. Murillo?
Graduation. That is happening this Saturday. And we already had kindergarten. We already had OMS. OMS is throwing down their party tonight. Yes. They're going to be dancing, having some fun. But this Saturday, it is our big day. It is the big day of our graduates.
Yes. And for their families.
Yes. So that this Saturday, 10 a.m. And then we have Alamosa Alternative School, Alamosa Online School, starting at 1:30 p.m. at our stadium. The other thing that I want to just say thank you to the people that are listening. This is our third season that we are wrapping up. We don't record over the summer, so we put out a whole lot of information, and we'll be putting out a lot more during season four. We always have things going on, things to celebrate, people to get to know. So I cannot wait to recharge for a little bit, get ready for next year, and come right back.
Thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our school website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.